I always approach homilies on humility with a little bit of humility, because most of my friends would tell you I have none, okay? And while I will admittedly say that my ego is probably as large as this building, maybe a little bigger, I still believe that there's a certain amount of humility to me. And part of that is because of my parents and the house I was raised in. You didn't have a chance to get too proud in our household, because if you did, somebody would be around to remind you that while you were special, you were not that special. Okay? So we were allowed to be spoiled, but not allowed to be rotten. Okay? There was the distinction. There was the distinction in our household. And a lot of that came from my dad. When my dad was younger, he had some medical issues, rheumatic fever and a couple of things, and that left him for a while on some crutches. And, you could still hear the pain in his voice when he talked about when some of his schoolmates would come out and kick his crutches out from underneath him. And so my dad was one of those people that anytime there was an underdog, or anytime there was somebody who was being picked on, or anybody that was being left out, my dad would always be there. And God forbid any of us go and start picking on anyone. Because if we started to pick on anyone, my dad would say, "What do you think makes you so special? Why do you think you're better than that person over there?" And I mean, he would go. And you would feel about this big when you got finished, because he wanted to remind you that that person was just as good as you were in their own way, and that no one should be allowed to pick on anybody else because they somehow think that they're better. That was my dad. My dad was the one that would invite all these other people that didn't have a place to be to our Thanksgiving table every year. And it was always a kind of an amazing thing. My mom, is a different kind of example. My mom, as a teacher, I always knew that I belonged to her, but I was not the only thing that belonged to her. My mom, as a teacher, always had her own room full of kids, or when she became an administrator, a whole school full of kids. And as a result, I knew that I had to share my mom. Now, my mom knew that I belonged very particularly to her and my brother as well. But she always made sure that we also knew that there were other things that she had to do because other kids belonged to her as well. And so if we were wanting attention or doing those kinds of things, she'd say, "I have to finish grading this set of papers first, and when I'm finished, I will help you do whatever it is that you want to do or whatever it is that you need." Okay? And she was just very good about that. And she'd know that, again, we knew that we were special to her, but that we were not the only ones that were special. That she had all kinds of other special kids as well that belonged to her in a different way. And so, as a result, I always grew up knowing that my mom just didn't belong to me, but that she belonged to me in a special way first, but that she also belonged to a lot of other kids as well. It made me humble. It made me humble in a way that I recognize to this day that everybody else is just as good as I am, and everybody else is just as is of just as much worth as I am. See, humility doesn't have anything to do with having gifts or talents. Having gifts or talents is just our good luck that God decided he wanted to give us those gifts and talents. And I have long been a believer that humility is not trying to push off praise when somebody gives it to you, because that becomes twice as obnoxious. Okay? When somebody says, "Oh, you're really good at that," you go, "Oh, no, I'm not." Well, then what are you doing? You're inviting them to fight with you, and you're inviting them to prove you wrong. And that, to me, takes twice as much time and is twice as obnoxious. When somebody says you're good at something, then if you really want to go the extra mile, say thank you, and then say thank God who made it possible for me to do that. All right? That is the heart of humility, knowing the truth about ourselves and then taking all of the gifts that we've been given and placing them at the use of the whole community. So somebody can sing. Does that make them better than anybody else? No. It just means that they have a special gift and they need to use that gift for the community. Some of us can talk for a living. Don't be jealous. Okay? It just means that I was given this gift and I'm supposed to use it for this community. Other of you have other gifts. Some of you can cultivate the earth. Then cultivate the earth and make sure people can get fed. Some of you are able to balance books and tell us what we've got in order to move forward. Glory be to God that you have that talent, because I sure don't. And I have no desire to learn it. Okay? It's some of those things that we've got to recognize, that each one of us has gifts. And as long as we place those gifts at the service of the community, we are in good shape. But we've also got to remember that somebody else comes along, and maybe we can't even see those gifts. But we have to recognize and acknowledge that that person's got just as much right to be here as we do. We got to recognize that that person has just as much dignity before God as we do. Because you just see how much trouble we get ourselves in when we don't recognize everybody's innate dignity that God gave them? That's when we start eliminating the unborn, because they just don't matter as much. They don't have dignity, so we can do with them what we want. No. It's a lot harder to love the person on death row, but the same principle still applies. The same principle still applies. God's the one that gave that person life. And even if they're a sociopath and we don't want them on the streets, they still have innate dignity. Nothing can take that dignity away from them except for God. And God's not in the habit of doing that. We stop and we recognize that doesn't matter someone's skin color, doesn't matter someone's socioeconomic background, that we're all equal, we're all children of God. That's the key. And when we realize that we're all children of God, and that I'm not better than this other person just simply because I happen to live here and do this, then we've got a true sense of humility. Because you see, that's what they were talking about in that first reading in the gospel today. That when you've been given so many gifts and everything else, and you just simply use them for the favor of anybody else, then of course you're going to be loved. Why wouldn't you be for using your gifts for everyone else? If you place your gifts and I place my gifts at the service of the larger community, that's what we're being asked, to do exactly that. We look in the gospel at the parable that Jesus uses, and he's hitting two different sets. First, he's hitting the guests, all right, and he's saying, you know, don't presume that you're all that special. I want to tell you something too, by the way. Every time you eat at a head table, do you realize how awful that is? Have you ever eaten at a head table? You can't talk to anybody at the table because you're busy talking this way. I don't know why anybody wants to ever sit at a head table. I'd rather sit down on a regular table and talk to people anyway, but everybody wants to sit at the head table. Jesus is saying, don't sit at the head table. Sit down somewhere lower, and if somebody wants to drag you up there, okay, then let them drag you up there. But just take a place and be glad you got a place at that. Isn't that what we really want in the kingdom of heaven? I don't care what place I get in the kingdom of heaven, as long as I'm there. I don't care whether it's a broom closet, a place under the stairs. Doesn't matter. As long as I'm there, along with all the rest of God's children. That's what matters. And then he also does that other thing. He says, it's not about reciprocity. Jesus tells the guests at the table. He says, it's not about, you know, or the host, he tells them. He says, it's not about so that somebody else can invite you back. That's not why we practice hospitality. That's not where we share our gifts. Okay, I'm going to do this for you so that you do this for me. That's not what it's all about. It's not like if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. This is simply about giving of ourselves because we've been given to. That's all it is. If we give to each other in the way that we've been given to and share those gifts at the larger community, the world will be a better place, because the world will have my best stuff and your best stuff, and God will allow us to share it together. God will allow us to share it together. That That's what we need to remember. That, my friends, is true humility. Not pretending that we're not gifted. Not pretending that God doesn't love us. Not pretending that we all don't want a place at the banquet table. We all do. But if we remember that everybody else has just as much a right to be there as we do, then it makes things a lot less crowded with elbows, does it not? Doesn't it make life a little bit simpler as we just all are rejoicing that we've been invited to the feast together? I'm glad I had the parents I had. I'm glad that once in a while my dad had to lie into me because he was saying, "Oh, you think you're so smart? You think you're so good about that? Well, why does that make you better than anybody else?" I'm glad that from time to time my mom had to say, "Okay, your needs are just going to have to wait for just a little while because I've got these other kids that I need to take care of too. And I will take care of yours, but you got to give me a minute." Let's thank God for the gifts that we have. Let's use them for each other. And let's do so with at least a modicum of humility. Because humility is knowing the truth about ourselves and others and still giving our lives away, as did our Lord.